Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, I feel like shit. I'm drinking, as my kids have started calling it, beer orange juice, which is 1664 Blanc and orange juice, because it's a great, refreshing summer beer drink.
Beer orange juice.
Beer orange juice.
Clever.
Yes, yes, indeed. What are you drinking tonight?
Maple bacon. I was trying to get to a liquor store today so I could, like, get some Guinness or something because, you know, it was 30 degrees here and I hate the heat. So I just wanted something cold and heavy so I could sit in my basement and cuss out how hot it is.
Wonderful.
I hate the summer. It's the worst. It's just the fucking worst. Like,
I love it, man.
Talk about, like, your very typical gamer, where it's just like, but I'm just used to being in a basement where it's cool, and the temperature is great, and then you go outside, and it's bright, and hot, and ugh.
Yeah, I love the summer. I'm from a summer place, so, in general, like, it appeals to me more than anything else, but yeah. Oh, days like today, though, I'm just like, I don't mind it being cool and stay inside where it's shady. So yeah, that's that. You are listening to Jaded Gamercast. We are going to be talking about the updates for Firestorm Planetfall, all the different Orbats for the Recon Helixes, as well as some of the updates that we saw here in this last release. But hey, before we get started on all that, let's talk about what we did this week in hobby. Mm-hmm. I'll start off. I made roughly $700 at a Bits Bazaar yesterday.
You spent how much?
I roughly made $700.
Oh, okay. That's good. I thought you said you spent, and I was like, the fuck did you buy?
No,
you were able to offload most of your armies?
A lot of them, yes. So basically, I sold my ogres, I sold my Necrons, and I sold my orcs for fantasy, and I sold about half of my Space Marine stuff, and then just like a pile of bits, I sold about 6 codexes. I sold a couple of things here and there, like just little bits and pieces. I sold my Uplifting Imperial Primer.
Oh, nice.
Stuff like that. So, yeah, I walked away with just under $700 in my pocket, and I've already got another guy asking me, like, hey, is that Vampire Khan's army still for sale? I'm like, you know it's still for sale. It's just got to go.
So, I mean, that's like what, a Games Workshop Battle Force you can pick up now?
I might be able to get started on mostly a third of an army, yeah.
You know, awesome. Good for you. Good for you.
Well, it was really funny because Maddie was there as well, and he made a couple $100, which was pretty good. And, you know, we just talked about how it's almost as bad, but probably even worse, to be perfectly honest with you, than, like, buying a brand new car and driving it off the lot. Like, the devalue of models, like, as soon as you open the plastic, even if everything is in there, people are just like, no, I'll give you $10 for that box.
Right.
Because it just doesn't mean anything. And I've come to the realization now that if I ever did want to start a new army, I would just go to, like, the local buy and sell page and just be like, I'm looking for a dwarf army. I'm only willing to spend $250. Who's got one?
And someone will be
give me a dwarf army for $250, right? Like, that is the state of the game now. The secondhand market for Games Workshop stuff is so large. There's almost no reason whatsoever to actually buy anything new. Unless you just desperately need the new stuff. Excuse me. But yeah, that was my weekend.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's not even Games Workshop that's like that as well. Because, I mean, like, I have 2 full War Machine armies. I think dollars out of pockets, I paid 50. Mm. Like, you know, and it's just like, that's the thing where it's just like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I traded some old stuff that I paid, I can't even remember how much money for, like, 8 years ago, but surely, like, we can assume that money is lost, mm-hmm. and it's not like I'm trading, like, for like. But yeah, like, you're absolutely right. There is something weird about miniatures in terms of a secondhand market where it's just like, yeah, there is absolutely no value to it whatsoever. Like, even when you look at what my 2 armies that I sold off eBay went for, like, we're talking 30% retail, and these were both fully painted armies.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, I threw a deal at the guy who bought my Ogre army because he was just getting into a fantasy. He was a friend of Andrew's, and I was just like, all right, man, I'll give you the case, I'll give you the books, I'll give you the cards, I'll give you the army. And then I was like, what do you have in your wallet? So he walked away with a steal of a deal. But it was a lot of fun. But I didn't actually play any games this weekend. That was the primary upside of my weekend. So what did you do?
I managed to paint another 8 of my Ralthosa drones.
Hey, fancy. Get ready to paint more of them.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, I am half done now. That's the
good. Well, half done for now.
Yes, half done for now, because goddamn, when those recon helixes come out, I am all about more spiders.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. But other than that, had a really late board game night last night where we kludged together a custom, like, 8-player game of Zombicide.
What was that word?
Kludge.
That is new to me.
Okay, it's an actual biology term. I'm not going to get into it, but...
Perfect.
I was going to say, listen, this is a podcast about alcoholism. I don't feel like we should be educating people. So it's just my stance on it. But yeah, so like I said, we managed to just do like a big old custom Zombicide scenario with 8 of us. And holy shit. And it was all like the Kickstarter stuff, which the spawn cards are heavier on walkers.
Yep.
So it's just like, holy shit, where they're just like zombies everywhere. But we did almost manage to get one player up into the red, which would have just been bananas. No, like I said, it was good fun. So, I mean, painted some drones, played some board games. Nothing much else to report. Although I am starting on those, tubes of spiders for the, they're going to take so long to paint.
The spider tubes?
Yeah.
All right. I would have thought those would go pretty quick, but...
So did I, until I started, and then I was like, oh, and then this is going to have to be, and then I'm going to highlight, yeah, Maddie, this is going to have to be, and oh no.
Maddie went to do his Dendrenzi heavy tank,
mm-hmm.
and he decided that he was going to edge highlight it all. So,
like a sucker.
Yeah, he said it took him like 7 hours to do the one tank, just the edge highlights, like not even finished.
Oh.
And I mean, it looks good, man. It looks good. I think he's just still very spiteful from Adepticon. But he's just like, if this is what I gotta do, fuck everything. And that's basically his view on it.
Hey, listen,
so,
what I learned from Adepticon is you paint stars on your bases, you win, best painted, and lo and behold, it worked at Onslaught. I'm just saying.
So,
stars on your bases.
Fun story. At the Bits sale, Josh had an RSN fleet for sale. Painted RSN fleet, you know, looked all right. And
Maddie bought it, didn't he?
Yeah, Maddie bought it.
I don't have an RSN fleet from you.
Well, that's pretty much it. Is he's just like, well, I'm going to repaint it. I'm like, God, fucking why? But no, so he now has a third RSN fleet.
No, that's the fourth.
No, that is the third.
Oh, he hasn't bought his new model RSN.
No, he hasn't
RSN
bought any of the
yet.
New model RSN stuff. So those will be the fourth.
You fucking scrub.
however, his fourth RSN force will probably be as many of those Skydrop temples as he can get his hands on.
Oh, yeah, for Planetfall. Or is that just what he's going to use for spaceships as well?
Oh, no. He's just for Planetfall.
Oh, they're so good.
All right, so there you go. There you have it. Let's move on to the weekly listener poll. The questions that we asked you guys were, do you have a unit that you know is terrible, but you love to use anyways? And this is a first for us. 100% of you said yes.
I did notice that. I was like, holy shit, we've never done this. Even on the gimme low-hanging fruit questions, there's always like that one asshole.
The one guy who's like, Superman would win. So basically, everybody apparently has these units. Ian says, C-tier and its codex. All of them, the whole damn thing, stupid credits. See, he's so bitter-ass, bitter people. Trent H. says, Terminators are the bane of my existence because they're simply not as good as they should be. I fucking own now 4 different armies because all have their own specific models for Terminators. Dark Angels, Blood Angels, Grey Knights, Space Pups. I just love the look of Terminators. Mm. I think that's fair. I think Terminators are pretty damn good, but yeah, every once in a while you put them on the table.
Oh,
you're
dude!
Just like, ah, shit.
Oh, come on! Like when you're just like, here is my 10-man shooting Terminator squad with 2 Cyclones and 2 Chain Fists, and they cost 470 points. They are never earning those points back.
It's unfortunate.
Ever.
Adam says, "Do you enjoy having fun when playing games?" Question mark. Yep, my Kroot/Stealth team/Piranha Tau can nod their head to that. Rex says, my Necron army now never leaves home without its Nightbringer. I remember its slough from the old Codex too fondly to leave it behind. That is dedication right there.
That
the
really
Nightbringer
is.
Fucking sucks. That is a piece of shit. Kelvain says, I just can't resist putting Space Marine or Chaos Space Marine Dreadnoughts into every list once in a while. I like the looks of the models, and with their 100 or so points, they should be decent, but often enough they die before having any real impact on the game.
Listen, I'm an Iron Hands player. See, I voted yes because of Space Marine Dreadnoughts. I fucking love them to death, but, oh man, they never accomplish anything.
So Mitch says, Assault Marines, love the models and the fluff, but they never actually win combat.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yep. Because again, it's funny because we always, a space marine squad is always the benchmark, right? That is just the benchmark for anything that you are going to compare anything else to. And Assault Marines really only excel versus Space Marines in the sense that they have slightly better movement and extra attack.
They will not rough up a tactical squad, but they should definitely win that combat by a point or two.
In general. I
mean, the problem is you're right. Space Marines are the benchmarks, but it's a shooting profile. Like, anyone that ever thinks that Marines are a combat profile is just reading the book wrong. So it's just like, but that's what makes Assault Marines so crazy, because I'm with Mitch. I think they look great. I think the jump packs look super cool. The bolt pistol chainsword looks super cool. But when you get to it, you're just like, so I'm mediocre, and I basically fail half of everything. I'll fail half of my hits, and I'll fail half of my wounds. Right. And you get all of your armor saves, unless you're like orcs.
Right.
Exactly. You know, and you're just like, well, shit, this isn't very good.
So, hey, there you have it. Thanks, everyone who voted on the weekly listener poll. You can find those at jadedgamercast.com.
What's your unit?
Remember, it was Striking Scorpions. Yeah. But, like, actual armies that...
An actual army that you own units. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong. For me, my Flamers of Zeench and my Demons army were always that, these guys are fucking terrible, but I love how I painted them. Let's just do it.
All right, so... It would have to be Orcs. Because it's the only 40k army I own anymore. And honestly, I think that it's the, originally it was the Dreadnought with Killicans. but honestly, the thing that I put in every army that I shouldn't is the War Tracks with just the twin linked Big Shooter.
The Big Shooter ones.
I just love how stupid that model is, and it's like 40 points. Yeah, it's like, who cares? I'll put it on there. It's got a Big Shoot. I'll ram shit with it. I don't care. But it makes it into every single orc list I build. For some reason or another, it's in there. So that would probably be it right there.
Fantastic.
We will have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if we remember. didn't even skip a beat. I'm in great shape. All right, so let's talk about our model of the week, which in this case is our kit of the week, because there are three separate models in it, and that is the RSN Allied Assault Helix for Firestorm Planetfall.
Sploosh. That's
oh my god.
Holy shit.
First off, I was excited for the temple. Right. I was like, give me this temple. I'm so excited for this thing. It's going to look so fucking cool. This big old temple that comes dropping out of the sky. And even though I feel like they kind of missed the mark on it, I still love the way that it looks. I love how it's got the two statues facing in both directions. I think that looks really, really cool. Kind of the launchers and the launch bays for the fact that this thing is basically dumping light tanks out. From either side. And the light tanks look interesting. They're pretty cool. They're just kind of a typical tracked light tank. Nothing super, super special. But, oh, my God, the Archangel friggin' mech.
It's so pretty. The wings, which are totally non-functional, but everything about it looks good. Like, you know, we keep talking about Planetfall. Obviously, it's our muse of late, but... Part of the reason is because they literally just keep hitting it out of the park. I have yet to see... Actually, sorry, the Aquan Leviathan, which I am meh on, is like the only model that they have released for this entire game where you're just like, yeah, it's all right. Well, I mean, yeah. I can see why you like it. I mean, not my cup of tea, but yeah, it's all right.
But yeah, it's fine.
This whole kit hits it out of the park. I mean, we broke down the rules for this, and we talked about how fucking bananas the rules were for it. And the models just don't disappoint. Like you said, the light tanks, nothing special. They don't look bad. They're just not memorable, especially when you're comparing it to the other two elements in here. I personally love the temple.
I think temple. Like I said,
all of the all of the details that you have covered look great. I cannot wait for the painted pictures to replace these. Mm-hmm. Like once the production kits get back from the studio painters and they start uploading those, because that's Spartan's MO, right? We'll throw the pre-release up with the 3D renders, and then once we get the actual models back, we just slide those pictures in. Mm-hmm. But god damn, that like fucking pseudo Leviathan mech
What's so fucking sweet about it is it's got like that central core thing, like straight up Pacific Rim style.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how it makes me feel. And then with the angel wings on the back, like that, it's very anime style, and it's got such a cool look to it that it's on the flight peg. So it's clearly like, you know, like bursting forward with this cool ass sword built into the arm that apparently has capacitors on. Like, I fucking love it. I think everything about that model just looks so cool. To clarify, the only thing that I felt like they missed the mark on the temple is I would have loved for the temple to have been like Necromongers from Chronicles of Riddick, right? Where like it's a giant spike that just hits the ground. And I mean, when you look at it like this, it could very well be a giant spike that hit the ground. It's just the base itself doesn't have any sort of like cratering on it, you know, to kind of make it look like this thing has been like, has crashed into the ground. So if I were to get this, because even the shape of it, you could kind of see like maybe it does come to a point, you know, down near the bottom, and it is submerged to a certain extent. Like I might actually go and take some dirt and stuff like that and like build it up around the base to make it look as though it's submerged and it's, you know, hit like a crater.
Well, yeah, I mean, like all of the Relthosa sky pods.
Yes,
like,
exactly. That's what I wanted to look like.
Detailing that I just love about all of them. And yeah, I do kind of agree. It does look very controlled descent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and again, I think that's interesting is you do have the opportunity to do some interesting modeling with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but good Lord, this fucking kit, like everything about it.
It's
I just love it.
Super cool, man. I mean, if you're playing Dindrenzi, I could not see a world where you would not be picking this kit up now. And especially because of the fact that Dindrenzi don't have any other assault helix options, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just this, so it's not like Directorate where...
have two? I was going to say, I don't think I have any assault helix options.
No, I think that Dindrenzi and Aqua... Or no, Ceruleans were the only ones with assault helix options.
Yeah.
But, basically, it's like... You don't have to sit there and go like, oh, okay, well, I want to take this Recon Helix and this other Recon Helix from this other thing according to the Allies rules. Now, Natural Allies, obviously, it's different. You can still mix and match, but yeah, anyways. So it's fucking cool. I really, really like it. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm having a hard time fighting the urge to pick up just this and just being like, so how many points is this? Perfect. Let's play that size of game, please.
Hey, look, I am so grateful that my Xenian League Relthos, I'm like, I could take RSN.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let me look at the rule book. Like, what is the one type of helix that would get locked out if I did? Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. What's awesome about this is that these are all cloaked in the rules. Robot is cloaked.
I would lose access to the field support helix, something that doesn't exist yet. So yeah, I'm okay with it.
Exactly, right? Like I could put this into my directorate and it would, yeah, my field support helix would be hurt. So I'm just like, I may end up picking this up.
I feel the same way with my spiders because holy shit.
It's glorious. Okay. So let me just go back to this. And there we go. All right, perfect. So, yeah, once again, Spartan hits it out of the park. Maddie and I were talking about this as well on the way back from the Bits Bazaar, because we were talking about the whole, like, the models and this and that, and Games Workshop puts out these nice models, but there's no interest in the game or for us to play through it, or for us to play the game, and the, like, the price that they're asking is just so over the top, you just don't, you're just not interested, right? That's one of the biggest problems. Whereas every time Spartan releases something, we're just like, shit, fuck, we have to buy, I need two of those boxes, damn it. You know, like, that's how it feels every single time you look at these things. So, I mean, it's completely crazy. Even like the light infantry upgrades that are coming out, which we're not even going to get a chance to talk about.
Yeah.
There's obviously going to be some more very interesting light infantry upgrades, like, built into the game. That, or apparently the Directorate sweeper teams are robotic chainsaws that saw blades that fly through the air. Cause that's what it looks like at the moment. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm pretty okay with that.
Right.
Cause everything else looks like heavy weapons upgrade and command upgrade. And then sweeper teams are apparently flying saw blades. So I'm like, perfect. I love it. Let's do it.
Right. I was going to say, I see nothing wrong with it.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, to say the least. All right, so let's move on to the main topic of today's show. We are talking about the Recon Helix releases, and we're going to be talking about some of the upgrades that we see for each of these different books. So let's start with Aquins.
Cool.
So before we get into the Recon release, I'll give you guys a very, very quick upgrade overview of the changes. So for your Leviathan, the DR was increased from 8777 to 8877, and then you got one more CQB at 4 inches as opposed to base-to-base contact.
Yep.
Your heavy support tank was increased in price to 300 points from 280, with its DR increased as well by one DR in the second spot. So now it's 765, and its TV was also increased to 6 from 5. And then they renamed a model for some reason, but I think it has to do with
they're
separating the recons. Yeah. And that's really what it is. So it's the Qatari is renamed to Qatari Strike Shoal, and a sweeper team cost is upgraded from 15 points to 20 points. So there you go. Not huge, not dramatic stuff. Basically what they said is right now, some of the bigger Aquin stuff is a little bit too weak. But we're going to just slightly increase the cost, and the Leviathan is very much too weak. And then they just did a little bit of differentiating there for the infantry squad. So nothing big. If you're an Aquin player for Planetfall, you're not hating this update at all.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about the actual unit.
Okay.
The actual unit itself, in terms of looks, basically the core set is 4 light recon tanks. And they're their own new light recon tank. They're different from your other light recon tanks.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting choice because they did that throughout.
Yeah, they did do that throughout. And the reason why I don't mind it is these recon tanks, as part of the recon squad, have a very specific role. They're either really anti-infantry or they're anti-air, right? And I think that's what I really like about them. So these ones are anti-air. I think it's they have an anti-air, an interceptor weapon with pinpoint 2 or something like that.
I was going to say I'm scrolling.
The Mirana.
Yeah, it's a corrosive interceptor. That's 5 AD each, which is fucking bananas because that means that their full squadron size is throwing 20.
Yeah, 20 anti-air dice at 15 range, which is also really, really nice.
And let's also talk about their movement of 13 inches. So you really cannot hide your flyers from this squadron. They're going to catch them, especially with recon specialists. I mean, like, there's just so much going on that they're just so good at this role.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing I want to point out is basically all of the recon squad light tanks are essentially upgraded versions of the existing light tanks for that particular army.
Yeah.
So, you know, the existing light tanks for these guys were 65 points apiece. These are 70. Very little in terms of difference. I think the DR is the same. Yep, the DR is the same, the shield's the same, all that kind of stuff. Virtually everything is the same with the exception of the fact that these have a slightly different weapon, and then there you go. Bob's your uncle. Go for it.
Yeah.
However, on top of that, you can buy 2 large, bulbous-looking transports that can either drop off heavy infantry or regular infantry.
Oh, you need to do it. Well, no,
it's just regular infantry.
Yeah, they just have the regular light infantry in this particular one.
The Qatari Stretchel.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, basically, when you're looking at your Recon Helix, you must take your light tank squadron, which is going to be 4 tanks strong. You don't have any options there. You must take one infantry squadron or one infantry transport with the infantry squad purchased for it as well. And then you just have 0-1 on a second transport. Personally, I love it. I think that those transports are so fucking needed for this particular force. Because, I mean, when you look at what the Aquans had beforehand, is they only had one transport, which was their heavy tank. And so it's just like it ended up being this mix of roles that just fucking it was a disaster, because the purpose of a transport is to get your infantry up the board to take your secondary, take your primary, you know, get in there and just fucking CQB into the building and then stand there and shoot, especially if you're Aquans. You've got so many gun teams. But the purpose of your heavy tank was to hang back, shoot off your crystals, transfer that damage, use your hit and run to make sure that you're never getting into your opponent's effective range. So you basically had a vehicle that if you used it as a transport, you're basically sacrificing it, because Aquans do not have high DRs. So, you know, you get up close and an army with good CQB is just going to tear you apart because they bypass your shields and you have a terrible DR. Mm-hmm. So the addition of this dedicated transport, because let's be honest, its gun is kind of terrible, especially for squadron size one. Like, its gun is pretty fucking terrible. It's a 7 dice at effective range, which is 10 inches. Pinpoint one, I think that's scatter, just going off the top of my head.
That is scatter, yes.
So like I said, it's this terrible gun that isn't really going to do much of anything.
Because it has scatter, you're going to get to pew-pew at some light vehicles, and that's pretty much it.
And that's, if you're rolling, probably you should punch through the DR4 of most light recons. Great.
Yeah, but honestly, that gun is very similar to what we see for most transports.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. But, like, that's the point, is you're not looking at this going, gee, I want to shoot it. Like, you are looking at this saying, I have a 9-man transport capacity, which when I'm looking at my strike shoal, allows me to take a 5-man squad with 3 gun teams and shit an officer section for hit and run, because hit and run on infantry is fucking bonkers.
Yeah, 3 gun teams, 3 sweeper teams, and then you can still have like just an extra guy, or up to 5.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you took squad size 5, because all of your upgrades make you bulky, you can purchase 4 of them, and that's why it's like with your fucking Aquans, you take your 3 gun teams or your 3 sweeper teams. I mean, never scoff at sweeper teams, because holy shit, to CQB do wonderful things.
Well, and their Aquan sweeper teams also get DR+1.
Yes. So, no, like I said, you definitely have some very good options there. You can kind of do whatever you want. But like I said, I love this Helix for Aquans. I feel like it is filling a hole that they lacked. Because, I mean, I don't know how your game with Scotty went. I do know that when I played Terry, she was very new, didn't really understand the army, but like she never pushed her infantry up the board because she kept trying to pull her tanks, which one squad was embarked on, away. Like she kept trying to move them back and keep shooting with them, which is absolutely what you should be doing. But all that means is your infantry are just along for the ride, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I said, it's just like you either have to run infantry out in the open, which is a terrible idea for them, or you have to put them in transports. And I feel like transports in this game are mandatory. So that's why I really love this Helix.
Yeah, I think in general this Helix isn't changing a ton for existing Aquan players. I think they're still going to be focusing on the light tank and medium tank options that they have. Their heavy tanks are still pretty good. I mean, in general, I don't know if they're, you know, cheering with glee over the fact that they basically just get an extra light tank squad and an extra, like, medium transport. If you really do want to go infantry heavy, then yes. But I think generally if I were going to be playing Aquans, I would just be taking the one infantry unit and they're just sitting on the tertiary objective at the start of the game. Everything else would be focused on like the light infantry elements. Now that's not to say that I wouldn't take a recon helix with just those four extra light tanks in the recon helix, because I think that they are a really good option for 5 points
see,
more.
But that's what I was going to say though, is I feel like this is an auto include for Aquan players.
The four light tanks, yes.
No. I think this whole helix, you max it out, you go whole ham. I think it's an auto-include because those four recon tanks are probably the best anti-air in the game right now. So, I mean, they're absolutely phenomenal. And compared to when you look at the trade-off of tactical value and points costs of your Stingray anti-air batteries, you know, the light recon tanks just come out on top. 100%. They're just so much better and more versatile. Everything about them is great. And, I mean, this is a game where infantry and CQB make bank for you. So, right now, Aquans are an army that just can't do that, and it puts them at a huge disadvantage. And that's why, for me, I would always take a max out Helix for this, if only because, like I said, two medium transports filled with three sweeper teams, and who cares after that? Mm-hmm. They're actually going to be able to push up the board. And they're actually going to be able to do things for you.
Any,
and that's
any
why
squad
I'm like,
with sweeper team is going to be able to do it, right? It's a lot of extra dice, which is really, really nice. But yeah, I mean, like I said, in this case, I feel like the Aquans have great stuff across the board with the way that their light tanks and their medium tanks work.
Oh, their medium tanks are atrocious.
I like them, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, I see why people don't. I think the big thing with their medium light tanks is that their speed is just fucking crazy. Like, when you've played with, like, Directorate and your shit's moving 6 and 7 inches across the board, having a medium tank with hit and run that is a hover vehicle with 10 inches, like, yeah, it kind of sucks that their dice are not as high as other squads, but, you know, it's I think that their DR and their shields, it kind of makes up for it. But yeah, that's me. I played against Scott, his stuff was fucking me up, even though it was, you know, two dice less per tank than what mine were putting out, because it just didn't matter. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, maybe it's because I play Ralthosa, where it's just like, I've got comparable movement and I'm throwing seven dice more on two tanks versus three. And it's just like, they're so soft.
The other big thing here is that these things have 32 inches at their long range, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's huge.
Oh, for sure. Like I said,
a lot of other vehicles.
I get it, but that's why I'm just like, I would, if I was an Aquan player, I would be not, yeah. Like I said, I love the Recon Helix. I mean, we can go back and forth on it, but I think that.
Sure. There we go. We'll agree that we're split on it.
Yeah, you need to pick it up.
All right. So let's talk about the Dindrenzi one, because I think this one is the one that is very different from the rest. This is the one that stands out.
The biggest loser? Sorry, what?
Well, ho! It is cheaper than the other ones, but still.
Oh, it's fucking terrible. All right. When we look at
you
the models,
you fucking hate it.
It is absolutely the worst recon helix. If you're a Dindrenzi player, you'll never, ever, ever purchase it. It's just, there's no point.
Interesting.
So, when we look at the models, I do really like the drop pod guns.
Mm-hmm.
They've got very interesting rules that I'm very happy with. And then after that, you've got nothing special. You've got your drop pod, still looks cool as fuck, and you've got one infantry squad. So like I said, nothing really stand out on here. I do like the drop podding gun turrets, but like I said, the models are not RSN cool.
Well, no, nothing is RSN cool. So let's just wheel back a little bit here. So basically, the infantry squad that you are taking has to have three gun bases built into it. So it's the Harvester coil guns, 10-inch range, 5 AD. So you're basically getting a squad with 15 dice at short range.
Yeah.
But basically, what these are going to be built for is taking an objective.
You have to take the command elements.
And you have to take the command elements as well, yeah. Like, everything's built in, built up for it.
Yeah, so the Recon Helix is one sky pod with the full infantry squad that is, as Link said, three guns, one command element, and then you have 0 to 2 of the field gun squadrons.
Yes, and the field gun squadron's 80 points apiece, the sky drop pod is 35, and then you have a standard infantry cadre for Dindrenzi with three gun bases. So basically what you're getting here is one squad, two guns, And what's interesting about the guns is that you do not have to pick when you're yes. building your list which one you want to take. So mm-hmm. that I really, really do like. I like the idea that mm-hmm. if you are going into a game and you're just like, shit, I need some anti-air, boom, I drop 2 anti-air pods down. Oh, do I need 2, you know, anti-infantry or anti-light vehicle? Boom, I drop 2 of those down. Yep. It's a strength 8 gun at 10 inches. It's a strength 5 at 20 inches. And it's got DR55, 2 CQB. It's pretty straightforward. It's fearless. It's hard target. It's all that kind of jazz.
Yep.
Now, what I like about this is that this is something you can kind of hang back with until you're ready to either take an objective or you're ready to, you know, get into a good position to either flank with, you know, these little gun turrets. And because it's generally cheaper, you're going to kind of be able to squeeze this into an existing, into mm-hmm. an existing Dendrenzi list. Now, is it going to make the cut? No, I think this is one of those things where if you have the points left over, you'll buy it because you'll be generally pretty happy with, hey, a free squad in a skydrop pod. Hey, there you go. That's a cheap free squad, right? Whether or not you buy the field guns is up to you, but in the end, it is a dirt cheap free squad, right? Well, so you might end up going that way.
See, but I mean, like, here's the thing. The reason I really strongly dislike it is your free squad you can build into your core helix, okay? You can have 0 to 4 sky pods. So you could literally build 4 of those in your core helix. You don't even have to burn your recon helix slot. Not that you're competing with anything yet, okay? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. So is there ever a time where you as a Dendrenzi player are going to say, hey, look, I'm already spending 1,000 points on infantry. God, I wish I could spend 1,250. You're not. So it's not like you're ever looking at wanting to take that fifth squad of infantry. And then when you look at the sky drop field guns, the one interesting thing they do have is that dialed in asset where when you bring them in, you pick, do I need my flak launchers for interceptor? Do I need my assault launchers for anti-infantry? That's great. I love having that tactical flexibility, but can we talk about how shit 5-5 is with a tactical value of 3? Like, I tore apart Terry's skydropping in Stingrays, which are basically the exact same thing,
mm-hmm.
Only they cost more points because, sure, why not? Because, like I said, when you look at the Stingrays, they are also 5-5, tactical value 3.
Mm-hmm.
Those were gimme points. I was just tearing them apart. They really weren't accomplishing much of anything.
Oh yeah, no, this is not something you're dropping into the middle of a squad, right? Like this isn't something you're putting in the middle of the battlefield. This is something you're using to like take obscure off to the side objectives or like late game drop on the objectives that you want because
well,
it's
but
cheap.
Remember your skydrop field guns don't have taken hold, so they
well,
can't.
Well, no, just the squad.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh no, I know, but that's my point. Is the squad is worthless because your core helix?
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying.
And that's why I look at this, and it's just like, when I read the rules for the Dendrenzi one, it was just full of disappointment, because I started with Ralthosa, who clearly have the best, and then I went on to Aquins and Terrans, who are probably second and third best, and then I got to Dendrenzi, and I was like, why the fuck would you ever take this as a Dendrenzi player when your heavy armor helix is baller as fuck, your Leviathan is amazing, your RSN is amazing, I guess not everything can be made of solid gold if you're a Dendrenzi player, you have to have one dud, this is it.
I guess that is. Yeah, I mean, I think I get where they were going with this, and I would liked it to have maybe worked a little bit better. This is something that it seems fairly clear.
Dude, but you
it
know
seems
what?
Fairly clear that they're probably going to end up tweaking this a bit.
You would, but the worst part is do you know the one change you need to make in order to make this helix really good?
Allow you to take a heavy infantry cadre?
And that's exactly what I was going to say, is if you said that it's a 4-man heavy infantry cadre instead of that bullshit light infantry, mm-hmm. suddenly this is an auto-include. And that, and that's the difference.
Well, and that's the really interesting thing, is like you had pointed out when you first read through it, suddenly Dendrenzi have a heavy infantry cadre that cannot be taken by anything.
Mm-hmm.
No upgrades, nowhere, nobody can take it. So
absolutely. So, I mean, like,
waiting
that's
for 3.1.
We are absolutely waiting for 3.1, which was released for Aquins, Terrans, and Ralthosa, but fuck you, Dendrenzi players. But, like, that's the thing. As I said, if this was one sky pod with the heavy infantry and the options of taking those dialed-in guns, all day, every day. you would absolutely always include it, especially when you look at a four-man heavy infantry cadre being able to throw out 24 attack dice on your heavy harvester anti-infantry coil guns. DR6 on them? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, talk about a big, beefy, you always want to have them in the unit, but when you just look at the fact that I can already take four of them in my core helix for that bullshit light infantry, there's just no reason to ever fuck around with this helix.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's too bad. I feel like they're definitely a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be cool. I guess maybe that was part of what that is. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So when Nick Snyder performs a storming action resolve, yeah, okay, that's unfortunate. There you go. So we'll move on here. Let's move on to, and I'm kind of going by a specific method, Cerulean.
So, you mean the alphabetical order from the webpage?
That's what I'm going off of, yes.
That is a fantastic.
So thing. I'm gonna start out by saying I absolutely hate the look of this squad.
Yes.
It's so goddamned ugly.
It is. The walkers are goofy as fuck.
They're really goofy.
The big old
convertible. The bathtub.
The bathtub. Oh my god, it's totally a hot
tub. The hot tub.
Someone needs to, like, water effects in there so it looks like a fucking hot tub.
Yeah, the lizard hot tub just does not work for me whatsoever. I'm not a fan of it. And I mean, what really bugs me about this as a Directorate player is that when you go look at the rules for this thing, for some strange, unintelligible reason, the heavy transport skiff has artillery support.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, artillery support 1.
That's right.
Command element, hover vehicle. Now, what's really cool about this, though, is it is a transport with recon specialist, which I really, really like. So you get that extra move right out the gates. I don't know if the Aqua
one. No, wrong one. I was looking at the Vaedrath tribes. Never mind.
Yeah, so, like, unlike the Aquan one, unlike the Jindrenzi, which obviously didn't have anything to do with that kind of crap, this one does have a recon specialist, which is really cool, so you get that extra recon move right out the gates with a heavy transport full of guys that are gonna fucking go crazy.
Yeah, full of fucking 8 heavy infantry? Holy shit.
It's got 3 DR points, so 875, 3 shields, and 7 CQB. It's generally quick, and it has a Nexus designator, because why not? Let's throw everything else on there.
Well, you know, so it can zero in its own artillery.
Exactly.
Fuck.
But it is 180 points, so...
Oh, yeah, you're definitely pretty damn paying pricey for it. But, I mean, even then, Movement 9, Recon Specialist, like, this is... For me, this is a very good choice for you. I mean, I think my only caveat on this is, while I feel like individually all of the choices in this Cerulean Recon Helix are very good, I also feel like they run counter to your traditional Cerulean playstyle. So when you choose this all up in your face Helix, you're basically splitting your force, saying, I'm going to throw these guys at you, and if you're playing that as a diversion, it's going to be a very good choice. You're going to be very happy with it. But if you want to play the kind of castled up brick style of Ceruleans where you're just bombarding at long range, kind of moving back a little bit in order to maintain your long range, because those are your bigger dice, this is taking points away from that. And this is taking a good amount of points, because 180 points on the heavy transport skiff, you need, what, your 8-man heavy infantry cadre? Right. Or no, it's your 4-man, because they're bulky. But again, so that's another 240 points right there. And if you take your, where are their light battle walkers? The Jaguars. That's another 280 points. So it's like you are spending a fuckload of points to take away from that very traditional, what your core Helix and what your Leviathan are doing.
Now,
and that's why I'm like, eh?
Here's the interesting thing, though. The Jaguar battle walkers are actually really good.
Oh, they're phenomenal.
Recon Specialist, take and hold with a walker, DR6, 1 shield. They have a movement of 10-16, which is pretty damn fast. And what they have is a Interceptor Precision 2 missile, which has effective range of 10, long range of 20, 4-3. So pretty much right in the range of what you would expect for the amount of dice that people would be throwing out for a light vehicle of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But again, anti-air, precision to squad of four, you know, throwing out a good amount of dice, that is really, really good. And precision two is really good.
It is, but there's no hard target minus one, so you're looking at a DR of six.
That was the next thing I was going to point
out. Yeah,
I
was going to say.
These things will die. Even though a DR of six with a shield, they will fucking die just as fast as a lot of other stuff out there on the table. So pray to God you don't get flanked.
Well, yeah, where that DR hits five, you're going to get lit the fuck up. No, but I mean, like, that's the thing. So it's just like, this is why, as I said, when you look at the two elements of this Recon Helix on their own, these light battle walkers are fantastic. The heavy transport skiff is beastly as fuck. I mean, the models are all stupid, but if we're talking rules, they all look so bad.
Ceruleans are the bottom of my list for Planetfall, so... I mean, I like some of their stuff, but look, there's a lot of their stuff
I really liked the Cerulean rules, and that's why when I was like, do I play Terrans, Ralthosa, or Ceruleans? And then the models came out, I was like, do I play Terrans or do I play Ralthosa? Like, these are my choices. And that's the thing, and that's kind of why I say, like, for me, this is a coin flip. You know, like I said, it is so counter to everything else your army is doing, and that's why I'm like, is it worth taking Leviathan amounts of points away?
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, way back when we were first talking about Ceruleans, one of the things that I pointed out was that there is a split in every single unit that you can take for Ceruleans. Some of them are very close and built for CQB, and then the other stuff is all built for long range. So you kind of have to make a decision. Do you want to build for long range with a little bit of up close for when the guy gets to you as like a counter striking type thing?
Yeah.
Or do you want to go really heavy, on the side of, you know, get up in their face and CQB the shit out of them, which is like primarily infantry, skiffs, fast moving stuff. Cause they have a lot of fast moving shit.
Yeah. They
in
do.
My mind, this only works if you're playing the fast moving version of the Ceruleans.
Absolutely.
There's no reason to take this recon squadron in Ceruleans if you're playing the long-range artillery version of Ceruleans. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so moving on to something that just looks way nicer. The Terran.
Oh, I love these.
The Terran Helix, I love their Mad Max-style robocars. I think those are super slick-looking. I love
their
little laser turret.
They're fucking ED-209s.
Right, exactly. Well, and then you've got, like, the Warjacks, because, like, these are, like, the full-size ED-209s, and then the Directorate ones are, like, the junior ED-209 in trainings, which we'll talk about when we get to Directorate. But I love the look of these light vehicles. I think the like, supercars look really, really cool. And then basically what you get out of this is a nice mix of regular infantry and heavy infantry, which is a very, very cool option for Terrans. So let's talk about the rules.
All right, so the Recon Helix must contain one light tank squadron, has the command element, which is what
the Freya light tank squadron.
The Freya.
Which, as we pointed out, is just a slightly better version of the Valkyrie. Just like all of these light tank versions for the recons.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then the options are 0-1 of the APC transport with the light infantry and 0-1 of the APC transport with the heavy infantry.
That's right.
And then all of their APC tanks gain the recon specialist mark for no additional cost because this Helix is baller as fuck.
Because you gotta pedal to the metal with cars like that, man. You gotta roll. So yeah, these guys are flying up the table, similar to the Ceruleans one. This is a very up close and personal style, but that's Terrans in general. They are not really a long range, army. Now Terrans are very much kind of take all comers. They have a mixture of all sorts of weapons throughout their entire build. But yeah, this is a get up in your face type build. The Freya light tank has a pinpoint 2 laser, which is very light, but it does have pinpoint 2, so that's kind of the only...
Dude, but pinpoint 2, squadron of 5. So you get that recon specialist up, you pull up to the side, you're throwing out 15 attack dice, which is definitely going to do a point of damage, and then two shots to hit that 6 and finish him off. Not to mention DR5, one shield, and hard target minus one. These are more survivable for less points than the Ceruleans.
Well, here's the thing, and you beat me to it. For 5 points more, you have a gun that now has a long range option for one less dice. It has pinpoint 2 instead of anti-infantry. It has one higher DR. And it has, it's slightly slower than the Valkyrie light tank, apparently, for some reason.
And the same TV.
Same TV, right? So it is a really cool option. I think for 5 points, it's kind of a no-brainer type option. And as the command element, it does really work. Having the extra model in the squad is the command. Because a lot of these recon squads have the light tank squad as the command element, and it's like a squad of four, and you're like, that squad's going to fucking die fast, right?
Yep.
But having a squad of five, just having the extra model is really nice. On top of that, you can take the Herdemann light infantry squad, which is your standard light infantry squad in one of the in the transport, or you can take the Huskarl heavy infantry squad, which has the dual Raptor grenade launchers, which to me is you take that.
Oh, see, for me, I would take both because I love the Terran.
Because that's also what they give you. So
they absolutely give it to you. But I mean, like, even when you look at it, you're taking your Huskarls to basically just jump out of the ATV when, like, the APC when it's destroyed and start throwing out 20 attack dice anti fucking infantry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a dozen CQB is not great. Well, I mean, it's good.
A dozen CQB is decent.
It is decent. Like I said, I'm looking at it of like my fucking Ralphosa drones. Dude, I'm like, we're I
spoiled.
Fucking 16.
You and I are spoiled.
Yes, yeah. we are CQB all the CQB.
That's all it is. You and I are spoiled. That's it. But what's nice about these is this is a DR5 heavy infantry with a shield. So these are as tough as the light tanks we just talked about.
Absolutely. So like I said, you will always take this Huskarl squad because what I love about the Terran APC is because it has no gun. Mm-hmm. It is fast. It's survivable. 6-5, 3 shields. Nothing wrong with that. 7 CQB. But it's cheap as fuck because of the fact that it has no guns. So unlike, you know, this the Cerulean one we just talked about, 180 points for one. This is 90 points. So you're getting 90 points for a recon specialist that's just going to zip up and dump these Huskarl out right there just to kind of be up in someone's face. Meanwhile, you can take the Herdemann Light Infantry APC, throw
Herdemann.
Herdemann. Throw three.
I've seen the 13th Warrior. I know how to say all of these.
Touché. Then you take your three sweeper teams in the officer base, so they're elite. And then you just go storm shit. Because the other thing is like, you might be talking about how they have one shield. Remember, the Terran Leviathan gives those light infantry a shield as well.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So you're just like, yeah, let's fucking go. And that's why I love this. Like, for me, when we're looking at rules, I love the Freya light tanks. I love both of those infantry squads with recon specialists on their APC. Like, for me, this is the number two recon helix rules-wise of all of them. Ooh, I love it. Love it to death.
So, in all of your power rankings that you were throwing, your tiers.
My tiers.
You did not mention the Directorate.
That's because we haven't talked their rules yet.
Oh, but you were like, Aquins, this is where this is. Okay, so the squad. Basically,
okay, models are cool as shit.
Yeah, the models are really cool. The light tanks are basically smaller versions of the transport, which I think gives this particular squad the most synergy in terms of like the model range that we're given.
Yep.
Compared to the other squads that we have so far. And then I also now get a light infantry squadron, and these have wah 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 guns.
This is your cyber warfare guns on your.
It is a heavy infantry squad with cyber warfare guns. So squad of four.
For reasons.
For reasons. Why not? Strength 4 cyber warfare. So the full squad's putting out 16 dice for cyber warfare, which honestly is more than a squad of cyber warfare tanks. Cyber warfare tanks puts out 12.
And remember how we were like, I guess if you have points left over, take cyber warfare tanks. These guys, I guess, just become.
They basically, and that was the thing I was going to say, is like, I'll never take cyber warfare tanks anymore because I'll just take these. 45 points a model, DR6 on a heavy infantry, with CQB3, but they are drones. Hard target and kill team and take and hold.
Oh, Jesus. So they could have five if
they could have five apiece.
Drone controller.
My only drone controllers are my drone tank.
Yep.
And my heavy tanks.
Yes. And that was why these were really in the middle for me.
Yeah. So this is really kind of starting to turn the Directorate in the direction you kind of expect them to be. Because right now, Directorate have been a very mid-range type army.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of long range. They have no artillery. They have no sky drops. So they're the only army in the game right now that is just completely invalidated in that aspect of the game. And right. Their long range is virtually non-existent with the exception of their tank destroyers. So you've always kind of been like, well, I want to get up there and I want to get all this stuff on the table, but like this requires me to try to play this very reserved type game where I'm kind of slowly moving up the table and shooting until I feel like I've got an opening, and then I just pounce on that opening.
Yeah.
Now with this, it does feel like you can actually be a little bit more bold because it's not just about those two troop carriers on the table. Now it's about the four troop carriers on the table. And that becomes a lot more, devastating, or I'm sorry, the five troop carriers on the table because we've also got the Haunter super mega drop grand company.
So which think, you should always have. Absolutely. Because so it's I think amazing.
Now it's very clear the direction of the directorate is CQB in your face as quick as possible. Everything yep. full speed, even though I don't have a lot of fast stuff, everything full speed all the time.
Yes.
And I really, really like this squad because this squad is like a cleanup squad. You can kind of put them on the table and just have them cyber warfare from a distance. But once they're in there, they're in there. And they're very tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, DR6 is fucking crazy.
So, all right, let's talk about the Anarchist light tank.
Before we talk about that, do you want to talk about the hilarity that the squad size is 4, but the box comes with 5?
What do you mean? Oh, for the...
The actual Helix box comes with 5 Anarchist light tanks. The rules are max squad size of 4.
Oh, wacky fun.
So I guess you just get that extra one in case you lose one.
I'm guessing that might get changed.
Yeah, it kind of needs to. Like I said, you know, this is the one thing that I do like about Spartan Games. All of their shit is kind of a work in progress. They will push rules out and be like, oops, we should have copped that, but we don't hire proofreaders.
Yep.
And then they just push updates out.
The Anarchist light tanks are an anti-air interceptor peacemaker missile tank. What's nice about them is unlike the other anti-air stuff, their anti-air does not get worse at long range.
Yes.
So these things you can kind of sit back at 20 and plunk, plunk, plunk shots with. You do not have to gun them up the table. But they have one more DR than the standard buggy, for 15 points more. So yay, nice, good mm-hmm. times. But, yeah, take and hold, recon specialist, all that kind of fun jazz. For this one in particular, we do not get the, oh, yes, there you go. As well, all of my medium transports for this Helix also have recon specialists.
Oh, yeah. They're recon helixes. Everything is going to get the recon helixes, which is great.
I get it, though, because I double-checked and I didn't see it.
I thought their new medium transports that they invented had it as recon specialist to begin with.
Let me double-check.
That's why it didn't say.
No, they do not. They have hit-and-run, hover vehicle, and transport 9. And then when you look at the entry, the entry does not say that they get it. So,
all right, so the Aquan Recon Helix is bad at recon.
Extra got bad. It.
Extra bad at recon. yeah, I mean, the Anarchist Light tanks are nice. The best part about them, as you said, is the fact that they are not losing any dice at long range. So, yeah, like you said, you can kind of keep them far back with movement 11, even if someone's trying to move their flyers around specifically, like try to keep them away from you, you can just jump up and pounce. It's really nice because, I mean, you basically have a 31-inch range and you deploy them in the middle, you're basically hitting fucking anything you want. It's fabulous.
Yeah. They're actually a really strong squad. I do really like the option to take the heavy infantry because I think the heavy infantry are a cool heavy infantry with the cyber warfare. But yeah, it does completely invalidate my existing cyber warfare tanks. Like
they absolutely do. And it's a shame because those are probably the coolest looking tanks.
I'll still probably take 2 in most lists because I do like the way they look.
Fucking cool. But yeah, I mean, like this is a good one. Like for me, I kind of, when I was power ranking them, as you said, I kind of put these in that tie for third place because your Anarchist light tanks, you don't really need a ton of anti-air because all of your combat carrier has it, your Leviathan's flying, so it's going to fuck up flyers anyway.
Yeah, not to mention I've also got my Works Raptor heavy intercept. Oh,
absolutely. So I said, it's just like, it's not like them being anti-air is doing anything for you. Was first of all, like, it's not like this is filling a hole. Unlike Ralthosa, which we're going to talk about next, where they finally, for the first time, got an interceptor weapon. Mm-hmm. You know, so I said, it's just like, it's a nice to have, but it's not really a necessity. Yes, having a third squad of light infantry is great. I think that was one of the most limiting things about Directorate is, again, we're spoiled for CQB. We have tons of it. Our guys are very good. And then your core Helix can only ever take two infantry squads. And you compare that to Ralthosa, who can take four, Dendrenzi, who can take four, and you're kind of like, well, why? And the Grand Company out of your Leviathan helps with that, because, good Lord, I am terrified of your Grand Company, okay?
Yeah,
I think like, we played our game, and you busted out of your transport, and you charged into me, and you killed six of mine, and I killed four of yours, and we're like, all right, so this was basically a drawn combat. We fucked each other up. It was
mutually assured destruction. Oh, yeah, we fucked
each other up to the point of nothing happening, which was, again, hilarious, but that Grand Company is just going to, good Lord, fuck everything up. Mm-hmm. And then for me, when I was looking at your heavy infantry, I don't know, I wasn't sold on a 12-inch range cyber warfare gun. It is throwing out a ton of dice at 16, so it does have that going for it, and you're always going to be in that range with the recon specialist medium tank. So that was always good, but what bugged me was the fact that they had drone, and basically your only drone controller was your heavy tank. So it's just like, these guys are going to outpace your heavies because they're lumbering, and then they're never getting the benefit of being drones. And I think that was why I was like, to me, this Helix felt kind of like the Directorate defense platforms, where it was just hodgepodge of rules, right? It's just this hodgepodge of rules where even the developers don't quite know what they want Directorate to do, so they kind of give Directorate everything. And they're like, you'll figure it out, right, guys? And that was the only reason why this fell in my own, like, personal power rankings, where I was just like, look, this is right middle tier. There's nothing bad here. But, again, that hodgepodge of my only effective drone controller is lumbering up the board well behind this.
Yeah, but for me, the drone controller side of this isn't that big of a deal. Like, if it's the only drawback, I'm okay with these not being more expensive than they are, because they're only 45 points apiece, right?
Yeah, and DR6 is
right. So if that's the only drawback that I have to deal with is that I'm not regular and I'm getting one less CQB if he's not around when I have kill team on top of it, I think they're absolutely more than worth it. Like, yes, it's a little bit awkward. I do have a couple things that can kind of work around it. But unfortunately, yeah, like, more than likely, they're not going to be able to be within a drone nexus for anything like that. So it's like, I'm basically sitting there going like, all right, well, you know, am I going to be able to burn up, like, you know, my drone launcher tank to try to get in there? Maybe that's the reason why I take the drone launcher tank. But I really don't feel like that's great, because it's not like it's extending my squad, but yeah, whatever, there you go.
And I think that was for me, again, that was the thing where I was just looking at it and I was like, so you're saying that in order to make this recon Helix work effectively, I have to work within another Helix?
Not effectively, because, but optimum.
Yeah, optimally.
They're effective on their own.
Fair enough. I need to activate another Helix. And again, because of the Planetfall activation rules, where if you start with your recon Helix, because you want to bust up your fucking recon-y light infantry, well, now you have to activate your heavy infantry before you have a chance to move your lumbering core Helix tanks up. Yeah. And that's why I'm just like, it makes it harder to use. And that's why I was just like, God damn it, will Spartan just give Directorate some love? I'm like, that was my thought.
Is they got the, like, love.
Your Leviathan. Okay, your Leviathan is the best Leviathan.
Dude, they got the love. And we actually saw that. We didn't actually talk about it for the rest of them, but I'll come back to it for this. Directorate saw a lot of really nice quality of life changes with this update. I actually got my Skydrop increased to 4 from 6. So now both my Skydrop and my artillery start at 4. I have none. Perfect. I can't use it, but hey, it's there. I got two more shields on my already the best Leviathan.
Yep.
And I got a ranged CQB on top of my base-to-base CQB.
Yeah.
And then basically my heavy tank got cheaper with more DR and an increase in shields.
No, decrease.
Decrease in shields to match the other.
But your effective dice.
My effective changed. Dice actually went up from 8 to 9, which was really, really, really good because that tank was just under, like, just did not have enough firepower.
Oh, again, when you were like, you know, you're two. I mean, I zotted the one. I just zapped it off the board on the most bullshit of rolls imaginable. But, like, even then when I was looking, I was like 16 dice, and then I looked at my two mediums and I'm like, how do they have 22 dice? Like, what the fuck is this?
Yep. So my heavy support tanks movement was brought up to be the same as my my regular heavy tanks movement, and then my DR was increased on it to 8, which was great. So again, like my initial DR is higher on both of my heavy tanks.
Your medium tanks got more dice.
Well, no, that's not my medium tanks. That's my tank hunters.
Oh, your Avengers or your tank hunters?
That's my tank hunters. So they went up in 5 points, but they got more. They actually now match my regular medium tanks.
Oh, okay.
Weapon strength at a longer range. So they're now heads and tails better than my standard mediums. Whereas before it was like, yeah, I can take them for more range, but I'm losing dice. So is it necessarily worth it when they don't have CQB and they don't have the shields and they don't have the movement? You know what I mean? Now it's like, oh yeah, it's still totally worth it. The Retaliator points were decreased. That's my standard medium tank.
Boy.
So, boom. Hey, my medium crawler got 10 points cheaper. Boink. The Stalker and the Drone, basically got slightly better. They just gave it more CQB. And then they added the heavy infantry squad to it. So, I mean, like,
obviously.
I got a huge quality of life increase on this particular update to begin with. But when it comes to the recon squad, I want to come back to the recon squad as a Dindrenzi player. I'm sure you'll have a lot of this to say about your Ulthosa. So,
right.
Basically, what I like about this is that the Deadlock Heavy Infantry are really cool. They've got more cyber warfare than the cyber warfare tank squad does. They're DR6. They've got a lot of CQB to go with it. But if you just don't care for cyber warfare, simply having recon specialists on the carriers for standard directorate infantry squads is bananas because they are still the best infantry squads in the game for CQB. With kill team, with sweeper teams, with everything that goes in along with it, like being able to jet them up the table with a recon move, two squads of them, is crazy.
Yeah.
That is an enormous amount of shit in your face instantly, and that also matches the speed of the Leviathan for jamming up the table and dropping infantry on you.
Oh, yeah.
So the combination of the Leviathan hit with the recon specialist hit, where you just go boom and you put them all up in people's faces, I generally like it. I think it's actually pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, for me, the star is the light infantry with the recon specialist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was just, like I said, with the heavy infantry, I personally haven't seen your cyber warfare do good things. I mean, you told me about Scotty, where it's just like, they count as activated. They count as activated.
They're 50-50 right now.
You just don't get to use them.
Yes.
So that's why I was like, well, you know, heavy, you know, cyber warfare versus just straight damage is why I was like, eh. And then drones with basically no drone controllers was another one of those eh things for me. But I definitely see why you're very happy. And, yeah, a lot of those quality of life improvements were good. For me, my quality of life improvements, there's really only one that I cared about. A lot of it was like, oh, okay, so a little more expensive here, little this, little that. But let's talk Ralthosa.
Ralthosa. All right. So the models.
I fucking love the models. So first of all, I think... I personally think the Spires are the coolest looking models in the entire Ralthosa range, bar none. So getting the shorter, stubbier Spires with the bigger, heavy drones crawling up and down them, still love it. I think they're still hitting it out of the park with that. My only complaint is kind of what you were talking about with the RSN Temple. These do not look like they have just like fucking pounded into the ground and created a crater the way that the other
spires
do.
There's at least some.
There is a little bit, but when you look at the regular spires, they look like they're just fucking like...
Yeah, they look like they've jammed their asses into the ground.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the anti-air medium walkers look amazing. They are probably my favorite medium tanks right now in terms of just the aesthetic of them. But
granted, for Ralphosa, you mean?
For Ralphosa, yes. Yep. For Ralphosa. I was going to say, granted, I really like the Scorpion-style tank destroyers. So this is really reminiscent of that. So that's why I'm like, I'm digging it. And I'm also digging the look of the heavy drones. So like I said, for me, from a model perspective, this is hitting it out of the park in the same way that the giant Robo Scorpion Leviathan is hitting it out of the park.
Like, yeah, I'm so just, this is more of what you love. What I found very interesting about this particular Skydrop transport is that it does not have assault vehicle.
It should.
No, it doesn't. It has Drone Nexus, Fearless, Rear Echelon, which is even worse. Well, no, it's actually the same as your normal one. Sectored Armor. Hey, great.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Skydrop and then Transport 10. So it is great because you can drop it down, and it's tougher than your other Spire, which is great. However, you will have to wait a turn before you dump those heavy infantry out.
Which is not terrible.
It's generally fine. You're right up there with everyone else.
This Recon Helix is what you activate last, right? So it's just like you're going to bring them in last, so it doesn't really matter. But like, let's talk about the only quality of life improvements I care about. Both the Skydrop transports inherited sectored armor, so it doesn't matter what the facing is.
That's right.
Thank you. And they increased the range of the Drone Nexus. It went from 8 inches to 12 inches. So
yeah, I wasn't particularly happy about that, but
that's because you have experienced.
Well, no, the problem was that, like, even if I blew up your Drone Nexus blowing up the transport, you had like four others within it because you just dropped everything in the same place.
Yes. Which, again, I feel like when you are playing Ralphosa, that's what you need to do. You start spreading your stuff out, you're asking for it. So for me, it's just like, it's that layered approach because, A, you, like you said, you'd blow up one, you'd be like, yes, I finally got it, and then I just measured out, be like, no, they're still all within range of this Drone Nexus. So, like I said, those two quality life improvements of sectored armor and the 4 additional inches of range for literally 0 points. Actually, I think the Skydrop transport went down in cost from 40 to 35. So, hooray. It's not listed under the changes, but I'm pretty sure it did.
Okay, cool. Either way.
But anyway, let's talk about the Recon Helix rules. And this, because like I said, I love this one. I think that this is hitting every high point for Ralphosa and really filling in a lot of things they don't have. So you get the one anti-aircraft walker squadron, and you'll notice that this is the only medium squadron, whereas everyone else is using a light recon squadron. This is just a straight up squad of medium walkers. And then their options are 0 to 2 of the heavy sky pods containing one of your heavy drone swarms. So when you look at the anti-air walkers, they are cloaked, command element 12 inches, which is phenomenal, recon specialist, sky drop. So I do have options with these and walkers. So this is what I like about them. If you are prepared, like if you've got a gun line, if you are Ceruleans and you're just jammed up in the back of the board, I don't want a recon specialist and try to run up the board with my pitiful DR-56. Instead, I can skydrop them in. So I do have a lot of options. These are Interceptor Pinpoint 1, which, okay, great, Pinpoint 1 isn't. It'll work every now and then and you'll feel like a god. But
1 and 6.
Yeah, right? 24-inch effective range. There is no long range. 8 attack dice. So not super big on the range. But again, this is the only interceptor weapon in the Ralphosa fleet or the Ralphosa list. So I love it. I love the fact that I finally have something that doesn't have to aim.
Right. Whereas I have piles of interceptor and directorate.
Holy shit. Yeah, you have directorate.
Don't bring flyers on the table with directorate.
Because holy shit, you've got everything to do. So like I said, for me, super happy to finally have something, and I love the tactical flexibility of either Recon Specialist or Skydrop because it does allow me to pick and choose my opponents, okay? Phenomenal. Not to mention 4 CQB each, so that's decent. You're definitely not unhappy with that. Absolutely fabulous choice. Then when you get to the heavy transports, you've already run through the rules, so I'm not going to bother. But yeah, 5/5/5 makes them tougher. Sectored armor is great. But let's talk about the heavy
infantry.
Yes. And this is why I absolutely love these guys. So, squadron size is 3 or 5. You're always going to take 5. I mean, this is your swarm army. You're never taking a minimum squad size of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always going to take the 5. And when you do, you have a 25 attack dice anti-infantry weapon, which is
blood toxin projector.
Yeah, which is just absolutely fucking bonkers levels of good. Tactical value of 5. And that's what I want to talk about. When you look at your light infantry squadron of 8, their tactical value went down from 5 to 4, which fucking beautiful for me. That's another one of those quality of life. And, you know, 8 swarms DR3, TV4. 5 swarms DR5 is TV5. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, they're so much harder to kill. They also have recon specialists, which I thought was a weird rule since they absolutely must deploy embarked on the spire that has to skydrop. So
yeah, again, I felt like that was also kind of a weird one.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those overlooked. Like, there's no reason.
Well, no. I'm guessing that a lot of these squads will be available in, like, the one of those other support helixes, where you'll just be able to just buy infantry squads. Like, you won't, it's not like you have to buy any skydrop pods. So I think
fair enough. In which case, maybe in the future that rule will make sense. But otherwise, you can take and hold. They're hard target -1. Like I said, they're throwing out just an obscene amount of dice with the anti-infantry MAR, and they are also drones. So when you look at these are the guys that you want, like, you have two different uses with your different drones, and that's what I love about it, is these are the ones that you want to drop into the flanks of heavy tanks, and you're just going to fucking destroy them. Or you're going to line up on something with the hard target MAR, and you're just going to absolutely destroy it. Because, again, specifically infantry, because 25 attack dice is bananas.
Yeah, you're going to fuck up an infantry squad.
You're going to fuck them up. Even if you're not shooting at infantry, you're going to fuck them up.
Yeah, what I really like about them is that they are just as fast as the standard infantry squad with the 7-9 movement. Like,
which,
that's fucking cool.
Well, yeah, because your infantry, both heavy and light, moving flat out, move 6 inches.
Yeah.
And my basic move is 7. Like, I remember when I was measuring, you're like, you're moving flat out. I'm like, no, they're just
you're like
7.
No.
They're just, why would I move flat out? I want to attack you. You're just like,
running, man.
They're move 7. This is bullshit. And I was like, okay.
I was so angry.
I am so spoiled for movement.
Yeah.
The one thing that you do need to keep in mind with this squadron is these are not your suicide mission CQB guys. And this is why I love them, is they really just fit in well with what your light infantry are doing. Because if you have your Patriot Grand Company locking down your primary objective, and I want to push you off for whatever reason instead of getting my primary, I'm going to send wave after wave after wave of the light drones until you're down to 1 to 3 infantry bases. Then my heavy drones are just going to waltz in, and they're going to take it. Because they do have a total of 10 CQB versus the 16 CQB. So it's just like, they are lower. You're not going to be, and again, that's only within range of your drone controller.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. Your drone nexus has to be close in order for you to do it. And that's why you look at them, it's just like, they're hard to kill. They throw out an obscene amount of dice. Their tactical value that you give up should you lose them is not that terrible. And from a points perspective, 250 points to throw out that much, like, I love them. I feel like they are just, they hit everything they need to hit. They play so well. They mesh so well with everything else that's happening within your Ralpho as a helix. Like, for me, this is an auto include. I will always take this helix.
You have to take it. Like, it's not even that it's just an auto-include. It's like, it's your only anti-air, it's more infantry, which is what you want to be using, and that's it. Like, that's all you care about, is that you can fit more infantry in, you can fit it in a separate helix, and you now suddenly have anti-air. Oh my god, anti-air, hooray. Even if you want to move, like, the majority of your infantry over to your recon helixes, right, so that they can come in as a separate helix. That's also another option that you can use with these, which is what I like. But you can't,
because your recon helix is just the 0-2 heavy sky pods.
Is it only the heavy, or I thought you could also do the...
Nope.
Oh, no, you're right, it is only the heavy. So in that case...
Your Ralposa list is still going to be your 0-4... It's still going to be your 4 sky pods, and now it's going to be your 2 heavy sky pods. Because you have to remember, like, these are great amounts of CQB, 25 attack dice is the most powerful weapon. Like, the Relthoza Leviathan can only throw 20 attack dice. Or, sorry, 24. So, your heavy infantry throw more attack dice than your Leviathan. And I can take two of them.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, ignoring the range aspect of it, yes, well, yeah, an enormous amount of dice.
But again, like, when you're skydropping, and again, like, fucking Relthoza have Nexus designators everywhere. That was something that Terry was complaining about, because, like, her Aquans have the two add-on tanks, whereas, like, basically everything Relthoza has a Nexus designator, so you're going to zero in multiple of your skydrop assets. And that's why that 10-inch range doesn't really matter, because you're going to skydrop. You know you're always activating your recon helix last of the turn you're bringing them in, right? So just, like, they're going to come down last. As a Relthoza player, I can usually out-activate my opponent easily. I just have so many cheap activations, so many things to do. So just, like, when they do come in, they're going to both drop down. You're out of activations. Then they're going to disembark, and they're going to open up. Like, you know, with those 225 attack dice shots, like, I feel really good, not to mention 10 CQB. I feel really good hunting Leviathans with just my heavy infantry and coming out on top of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can get them in there and you can get them out, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, but that's part of what we learned while playing our most recent games of Planetfall, is that there's a lot of firepower on the table, and shit dies pretty damn fast. Like, as you're getting into the game, it's just like shit just starts chewing you up. And that's kind of what I like, what we both generally enjoyed about it, is even though turn one took a really long time, we were able to absolutely chew through it.
I played two games that weekend. Mm-hmm. Both of them I finished in 3 hours or less. And again, these are new games, maybe a weird points limits, but like I said, we're both new, you know, we're all still relatively new to it. I played to the natural conclusion of every game, and I never saw turn three. Or no, I never saw turn four. Like, the game naturally concluded, because Planetfall, like you said, there's just an enormous amount of attack dice fucking everywhere. Shit dies off turn one, and I think that's what's so good about it. It's unlike Firestorm Armada, where you're like, I've got two dice at this range band, and my torpedoes, and you're like, well, I've got 53 point defense, so you do nothing. Shields. Point defense, 10 shields, so you do nothing. And it's just like, that's Firestorm, where it's like your first turn, you're kind of moving, and nothing's happening. In Planetfall, your first turn, half your army is dead.
Well, what I really like about Planetfall is that in every single game that I've played, the game has ended well before both people were tabled. And it's very clear that the game is not about tabling your opponent, right? Like, once you hit that 0 hour, it's basically considered to be like, yep, you've gained the high ground, and you start bringing in reinforcements, and he's fucked. Like, that's basically it, right? Like, that's basically what it comes down to, is like, nope, you've achieved your mission. You've gained all the objectives, or you have the tactical initiative, so yeah, shit starts falling from the sky on your forehead, and you're just like, ah, fuck, that sucks. But that's really the big thing, right? Like, and I think that's kind of one of the more interesting bits of the game. And that's why I think a lot of these kind of quality of life changes for each of the different armies is actually really cool, and the addition of the recon elixirs are generally really cool. I mean, yeah, the Dindrenzi one is probably down there at the bottom, but like you said, not everything Dindrenzi can just be balled to the wall awesome. Something has to fail eventually. The Aquan one, like I said, not my favorite, but you generally liked it. We both agreed the Cerulean one is just fucking stupid. And then I think the Relthoza one, if they had assault vehicle for that dropship, yeah, it would be fucking crazy. I think without it, it's a little bit more of a question mark, but like you said, you just drop it as like the last activation for the turn, so that at worst maybe one squad's shooting at it or something like that. Then at that point, it doesn't really matter.
Well, absolutely, because I mean, like, I love, especially when you're talking Relthoza, I love the idea of running either the heavy helix, because again, I mean, I did in both of my games, and it was fabulous. Or you have your Leviathan Helix, because remember how I was like, I'm not sold that fucking Cloaked is that good, and then I played two games, and I was like, Cloaked is broken as shit.
Oh yeah, I kept trying to tell you, and you're just like, ah, it's really, it's, I don't know, man. And then after three or four two games, you were like, yeah, it's pretty fucking.
No, but I mean, like, what I love about it is, like, if I'm running a Leviathan, obviously I'm not going to have the points to do a lot of other things with it. I'm probably going to be trimming down my core helix, but that's fine. I'm absolutely going to be taking the light walker squadrons available to it, because with Kill Team, mm-hmm. now it's just like I've got good solid anti-infantry and I've got good solid CQB where I can just, you know, the six-man light walker squad. So just like have a 12 CQB as a walk-by and now have an 18 attack dice anti-infantry weapon. So it's just like I'm going to have so many activations that I'm not worried about those heavy drones really kind of taking damage before it gets there. And that's why it's just like, yeah, they're absolutely your last activations. And even then, you're going to activate your fucking anti-air walkers first. And you're like, they're going to scuttle over here because I'm stalling. Like, yeah. That's the thing. So that's why I'm just like, I don't mind the fact that it's just like, it comes down. And then I disembark and I shoot you with 25 attack dice. Holy shit. Like, it's just so much awesome is happening. I adore both the look of the models as well as the rules. Clearly. Like, yeah, everything is working.
I think we're both sold on our particular.
Oh yeah, our particular ones are just like everything's so perfect.
Yay! I get Ed 209 Junior in training. So some other odd quality of life increases. The Works Raptor got a pretty interesting change. So the heavy interceptors went from 125 to 120. Their DR was reduced from 5.4 to 4.4. Their CQB was decreased from 4 to 3, but they were given cloaked. So we just kind of talked about how good cloak is. And honestly, I really, really like that, because now with cloaked, what I can do with these guys is I can just always move them flat out, right? Like flat out is just how I'll move them all the time.
Yep.
And basically it's like, yep, so I'm hard target minus 2 unless you have interceptor. Oh, you have interceptor? Yeah, no exploding sixes. Like, I think that that does make them more survivable than they were, and their firepower hasn't changed. Now, the light squad, DR was decreased from 5 to 4, so in line with my other light my light vehicles. The shield of 1 was reduced to 0, but they were also given a cloak. And then their CQB was reduced from 2 to 1. So I kind of have a problem with this. This one I feel like is a proper nerf. Like, they were really good before, but now it's kind of like, I don't know, DR reduced and CQB reduced and shields traded for cloak. Now it kind of feels like, yeah, they still have a decent amount of firepower, but they don't have the CQB to back
up. Hard target one with cloaked is fucked up. Like, Ralphosa has hard target with cloak.
Right, they're one of the few light vehicles with cloaked, which is cool. And I mean, I think it goes in line.
I think they're the only one, and that's what's so awesome about them.
No, the RSN, everything in the RSN.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, has cloaked.
So I mean, it's cool. I mean, I like it, but for 70 points a piece, and that's the big thing, is they're really fucking expensive. Like, my normal buggies are 45 points a piece.
Oh wow!
The 70 points a piece. Like, they're fast as shit. 13-17. They're elite quality. They've got a strength 4 gun, squad of 5. Cloaked, hard target, recon, take and hold, hover, you know, like, it's like they're definitely still a pretty good option, but even with cloaked, with a DR of 4, all you need is 2 sixes and one of them just goes pop, right? Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's
true. Hard target and cloaked don't matter. They still blow up, you know what I mean? At least my flyer with hard target 2 and 4-4 at least means, like, yeah, if you get 2 sixes, you'll do a point, but you'll need 4 sixes to do 2. Right. So you would really have to be churning out a shit ton of fire. So honestly, I don't know if these are going to make it into any of my lists. I think the interceptors absolutely will.
Oh, but, yeah. I mean, you're trading
the light tanks.
Yeah, I was going to say you're only trading 1 point of DR for cloaked.
Well, they also went down 5 points. Right. Like, they got
cheaper. Yeah. Oh, man. It's
worth it for them. And they're fast as shit. And they're great for taking out other flyers. And they're great for shooting at ground shit because I can shoot while moving flat out. And yeah, it's great. And if, I like it. I'm looking forward to it. So basically, there you go. There's some other interesting quality of life changes for the most part between some of these. A lot of the other additional helixes like Hawker stuff got cheaper and made a little bit more sense, being a little bit tougher and stuff like that. They got the ground assault rule, which is something that they added into the game. Terran's got some real basic quality of life changes where they kind of toned down some of their weaponry, but they also kind of turned off and turned up the points in a few places. So in general, I think there was a little bit more of a balancing thing happening for Terrans more than anything else. But yeah, apparently, interestingly enough, what it says here, and I didn't actually look at it, but I figured we should probably talk about it.
Okay.
It's not in the book.
It's not.
Or I'm sorry, it's not in the actual list, but on this like difference pages, it's like Grand Company rules added for Terrans, and I was like, I don't see that shit anywhere.
Yeah,
I think they might have been referring to Directorate.
I think they were. I think he, you know, whoever wrote this up, but I mean, good on them for doing the side-by-side comparison. But
Fleet Signal.
There were some things that they missed, like the fact that under the Dindrenzi Global changes, it does not mention the fact that they even added heavy infantry squad, let alone the fact that they can't be used whatsoever. Or the fact that, as I said with the Ralthosa ones, right when they came out, and I was like, we just don't have light walkers. Oh, they're mandatory. I have to take them. There are just no rules for them anywhere. You know, and that's why I was just like,
good times.
You know, so, you know, like I said, good for them. And so that's why I'm like, it's probably a wires cross, because I did not notice any Grand Company bullshit in Terrans. Not that Terrans need it, because again, with that Recon Helix being so good with their fucking heavy infantry.
All right. So now that we have all of the natural allies models will be released, because we've seen like the Vidreth and all that kind of stuff, the RSN. And now that we have another Helix added to the game, now keep in mind that we are still missing some Helixes, right? We've got the Leviathan Helix in there now, and we've got the Recon Helix in there now. We're still missing Assault in a lot of cases. We're missing the, you know, support Helix and stuff like that.
The field support ones that nobody has.
We have no idea what they're there for. We'll figure out when they eventually get there. Where do you feel Planetfall is right now, Nathan, as a game? Like, do you feel like at this point it's starting to feel more complete?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, we jumped into the ground floor back when there was basically nothing. And
three options.
Yeah, I mean, basically, we jumped in when everyone had a core Helix, and four out of six had an allied Helix, and that was it. And that was when you're just like, I was looking at the game, and you're like, it feels like it has potential, they just have to build on it.
Because I wanted to go back to that comment as well, because I kept saying, well, maybe when the Leviathans come out, maybe when we see a couple more Helixes come out. So keeping in mind that we've got the infantry upgrade pack coming out, which is giving you all of your command sweeper and heavy weapon teams. I love that the Aquan sweeper teams are just fucking Aquans riding deep sea fish with legs.
I thought that was hilarious.
It's so fucking stupid. I love it. I
fucking thought it was great.
I just absolutely love it, man.
I just love how it's just like the five races that get upgrades all have the infantry pack. And they're like, no, look, Ralthosa, they just don't get upgrades.
Sorry, man.
Spiders.
You get eight. That's what you get. yeah, absolutely, right? Like, I would have to agree. I feel like the game feels very complete even now, where it stands now. I feel like you have a lot of options, and especially with the release of the RSN Helix.
Yes.
Anybody playing Xenian League right now is going like,
oh,
that RSN Helix right there.
I love everything that my Ralthosa have access to, and I'm just like, RSN, you see? no, and I mean, like, this is the thing, is like, when you look at it, not counting your allied races, every single core race, so the six starter races, have a core Helix and half of all the options.
That's great.
We all have a heavy armor, a Leviathan, and now a Recon Helix. So that is only leaving air, field, support, and assault. Now, obviously, some of the alliances are covering those, like Ralthosa have the Bakash Air.
Yep.
We know the RSN or Assault. So, I mean, you can almost make a full Helix. Field support is the only one that's just straight up missing. I don't even know what to expect with that.
Right.
But again, the game feels complete. Like, I think, like, we are still having discussions of points levels. Like, for me, I think the two discussions that need to be had are, what is the points level that you're going to play at, and what is the 0 hour you're going to start it at? Because, again, we have the recommended of 1% of your points. right? Yeah. So just like you're playing 3,000, your 0 hours 30, but you can tweak it up so you have a longer game that's going to have, that's going to require more casualties. Mm-hmm. You can go for a bigger game with a smaller 0 hour. So like I said, there's lots of different things that you can do. I think that we as a gaming community haven't quite settled on where both of those numbers are going to lie, but as a game, the game feels complete because you have so many options. Yeah. And the Helix list building approach is brilliant. I think like when the battle log hit for Firestorm Armada, it's this new idea and they just hit it out of the park and it works for the game that it's working for because all the rules associated with Helixes are great. Like I remember when we were playing, you activated one thing, you're like, I'm going to activate these light recons. I'm like, you can't, you already activated your core Helix. And you're like, fuck, I did. And lo and behold, you couldn't do shit with them.
Yeah. I love the tactical planning that goes into it. But even in on top of that, going back to the whole points thing, I actually felt like 1% of your total points felt pretty good, right? Like most of the games totally that I've, every game that I've played so far has been using that rule. And I felt like it's ended when it should have ended. Like it was, it was very clear that like one person had the upper hand, or it was very clear that it was really, really close. And at that point it was just like, why do you need to play this out? Right? Like you've lost, sorry, you've lost, you've lost the initiative. You've lost the high ground.
And that's one of my
0 hours at zero game over. Right.
And that has been one of my big complaints with Firestorm Armada in general as a game. And that's why
we all remember.
Absolutely. I have always said that when I describe Planetfall, is it takes the very best parts of Firestorm and it improves on it. And so, like, some of the things that I hear people complain about Firestorm Armada are just completely lacking from this game. And that's why I love it. And I love the options. And I think aesthetically, these models hit it out of the park. I mean, there really is nothing that you're just like, this is just, there is nothing that appeals to me anywhere. I mean, like I said, we did take the piss out of the Cerulean Recon Helix, and like I said, the Aquan Leviathan doesn't do it for me, but on the same token, you have like that RSN Helix, and you have entire fleets whose aesthetics are just fucking brilliant. So it's just like, the models hit it out of the park, we finally have enough diversity that you have to make choices. It's not, well, how many points do you have? We'll play that. You know, and that's where we started. So I'm liking it. I hope that Spartan decides to release the last three Helixes for their core races throughout the rest of the year. And I think that's the plan, is if we look at it, since Planetfall launched, every single month has had a Planetfall release.
Yeah, so, they've been really consistent with it. And I think that that's the biggest thing I wanted to touch on was, you know, there was this worry that, oh, we're never going to get these things, or, oh, it's going to take forever to do this stuff. But they've been really consistent, and it doesn't seem to have been really affecting their Dystopian Wars or their Firestorm Armada releases as well. Obviously, we got, if you've been paying attention to the store, some new stuff on the horizon, which is all of these Firestorm Armada planetary warfare squads.
Oh, I can't wait for those.
I'm really, really interested to see how these are going to work in with Planetfall.
Because they're the Firestorm Invasion rules, but they're also the named Fleet Admirals. So you can pay additional points to have a legendary Fleet Admiral that does additional things. So both really neat ideas. I think the fact that all six core... Yeah, I was going to say, all six core fleets basically got not only brand new models, which are all pretty cool, but brand new fucking model types. Mm-hmm. Assault cruisers, assault carriers, and a new frigate class for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, that's just fucking cool. So they're not neglecting their other properties. They're really pushing it out. Like I said, for me, Planetfall gets better and better every single month. Every single month we get new releases. And when they drop the new releases, they also show us what we're getting in a month's time, and they update all of the rules. And it's just like, the game is getting better and better. And having played it a few times, it's fun. And more can you ask for out of a game?
Again, they're already tying it in, right? Like, they're already saying, like, right, we're putting out these squads. These are tie-in squads. This is going to tie in with Planetfall ground game, linking forces together. Here's how this is going to work. And it's going to come with a little booklet and a scenery sheet, and those are going to essentially connect the two games together. So I'm really, really interested to see what happens here. Obviously, we'll probably have a whole episode talking about how this is going to work. But hey, there it is right there. We would normally ask the question of, who do you think is the big winner here? But I don't know. I don't feel like we need to do that again.
No. You know what I think, what I'm a little more interested in is, do you feel that Planetfall is a complete game?
Sure.
Because again, we obviously, you and I both think that it has evolved to that point where there are finally options and list building is pick a points value, not add up what you have and go.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not fully grown adult, game. It is, it's been birthed and it's we're taking it home now.
The game is 6 months old. This isn't 40K at 30 years.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly. That's the big thing. All right. So there you have it. We've been going. It's a fairly long show. My daughter was crying in the background. I had my mic. So that has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.